Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. What are the matchups that you're most looking forward to or more you're most interested in in this Sunday night matchup between your Houston Texans and the visiting Detroit Lions? Let us know on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 713-572-4610. Like this friend from the 832 texting in, Danielle Hunter versus Penei Sewell.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It is a good one. I think it's a
very good one.
Really, there's a lot of defensive ones, offensive ones that I'm looking forward to. Defensive line as a whole, I think if you can get pressure on Jared Goff, that is that is somebody who is liable to make mistakes. But pass rushing wise, that wasn't where I went. One of the ones that I went to was actually like defensively in a different way, as we've talked about Nico Collins being at practice. One of the other things practice wise reporting that piqued my interest was that Foley Fatukasi did not practice again. And so, I mean, that's 3 days not practice, and that feels like it's going to lead to him not playing. And he's been really good for you in the middle and the spine of that defense. And what have we talked about when it comes to this Lions team? They run that ball really well.
They sure do.
Like, Azeez being back is cool, but without Foley, like, I want to see the spine of this defense versus this run game, this run tandem of Montgomery and Gibbs. And what, you know, how that works, because you're going to need to stop the run, and particularly you're going to need to tackle just for the defense to begin to work right before you can even get to the secondary and before you can even get to pass rushing and stopping Jared Goff, or even trying to go get back there and, you know, make heat him up and make him feel uncomfortable. You're going to need to stop the run, because generally in this league, if a team can run the football and they can continually do that, they will.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. And on the text board, you know, the Sewell versus Danielle Hunter thing, I kind of expanded it even beyond that, because I think just the Lions offensive line, you know, being so dominant is one that, you know, maybe Danico Autry on the other end, you know, can bring some heat and have some success. But I think that's an obvious good one. Now it also changed a little bit today with the news of Nico Collins. You know, him being activated and probably going to play. I'm looking at that. Going to play. I'm looking at that Lions secondary. They have some real dogs in the secondary as well, but they have been susceptible to some bigger plays. Brian Branch, Nico Collins, safeties against Nico Collins, stretching it. That is going to be key for me as well.
Yeah, if Nico Collins does indeed play, like, and even if he doesn't, right, I wanted to see this Texans team versus man. C.J. Stroud actually does really well throwing against man this season, like positive EPA versus man coverage. You just haven't seen a lot of it, right? It's one of those things that we talked about coming into the season. Is he going to get a lot of that Patrick Mahomes treatment, where you get a lot of too high and teams are just going to force you to throw underneath, and especially you'll get a decent amount of zone in that as well. This Lions team likes playing a lot of cover, you know, single high or cover three type looks where, you know, that middle is closed. And they also play a lot of man along with that. They trust their guys in defense, especially if Nico Collins is back. Like, can you take advantage of that? Can you guys get guys in separation and allow C.J. Stroud to kind of do his work, do his magic with his arm? Because if that's the case, the passing game can do some fun things.
Yeah, that got a lot more interesting, didn't it? You know, in terms of how they're going to approach Nico. But as we talked about, I think they're going to, you know, they've been somewhat preparing for Nico. But if you are in man, I mean, that's something that could maybe spark this offense a little bit. You know, so the defensive line, yes. Sewell, yes, against Danielle Hunter. Nico Collins, yes.
And further, when we're talking defensive line, like making sure that you get that push run-wise, because Jahmyr Gibbs, I believe he leads the league in yards before contact and per carry. And so, like, that's another thing is, like, you can't even just be letting these guys get a whole bunch of yards before you get a chance to put hands on them. Talk less of making sure that you get back to tackling in the way that you were early on this season as opposed to the way that you have been of late. Because if you're giving them 3.3 yards before contact and then they pick up another two or three after that, the math is pretty simple where we're talking about 5 or 6 yards rush. That will absolutely terrorize you on the day.
Absolutely. And another one that's a little more obvious, and then I have one that's not so obvious, is their defensive line. I mean, we know the story about this Texans team. It's the offensive line. It's can they get it done against these guys? They got bolstered this week. But with an addition along the defensive line.
Although Za'Darius Smith
practiced a lot, has he?
He didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday, and it was just designated as personal. I don't know what those personal reasons are. Obviously, I think that's kind of the point when they talk about personal reasons. I haven't checked on what it looks like today, but how reasonable is it to expect him to just be dropped in after not practicing? I don't know. That's the position on a team where I imagine that it's most likely when it comes to edge rusher, because it's just see ball, hit get ball, right? Like, go trouble that guy over there that's holding on to the football, right? Maybe that is how it works. But if they don't have Za'Darius Smith, and even if they do, like, one of the names I think of defensively is actually Alim McNeil, defensive tackle. He ranks 10th on ESPN's pass rush win rate for defensive tackles.
And he's
going to
be facing your left guard.
And that's the thing, right? Like, he is the Quinnen Williams replacement in this, right? Like, the guy that is going to be lined up over your guards, and particularly the left guard, I imagine, a good amount. Is this team going to do a better job of maybe helping your center over to the left guard, especially if it's Jarrett Patterson, as we assume it is? Like, how's Jarrett Patterson hold up? I told you earlier that when it comes to pass rush or pass block win rate, your tackles on the outside, 12th, which is all right, above average, solid. The interior guards and centers, 31st, right? That is the place where pressure exists, and Alim McNeil creates that at a high level. How do they handle that? Is Jarrett Patterson able to handle up individually? Does Bobby Slowick do some things to kind of add some support? Or do they even, like, get out, roll the, you know, put C.J. Stroud on the move to kind of alleviate some of those things? That's one of those things that has been talked about. Bobby Slowick was asked in his availability, play action. And I think he kind of erroneously said that, you know, they're high up on the list when it comes to play action usage. They're in the 20s. Maybe that goes up to try and alleviate some of the things that the interior of the interior of the offensive line is going to have to face against Alim McNeil and the defensive line.
And not only that, people in these parts might remember the name DJ Reader. DJ Reader is a Lion and has had some good games.
Damn, I didn't know he was a Lion.
Yeah, on the interior of that Lions team. So interior offensive line versus all those guys, and with or without Za'Darius Smith or however it plays out, that's going to be a big one. And then there's one that I feel could well turn the game, and I'm not trying to be dramatic or anything. I think it could well turn the game. The Detroit Lions special team is without question the best special teams in the NFL, and they lead the league in return coverage, kickoff returns. They've made every field goal. They've just been monsters on the special teams. And Frank Ross, our guy Frank Ross, gave them their love. And boy, I think, that could be something that if the Texans can just hold their own covering kicks returning kicks against a team that just absolutely stifles opponents. That could be huge. And we always talk about the three phases. We don't always talk about the third phase, but Frank Ross sure did.
Coordinators are some of the top tier special teams coaches who you play against and some of the best returners or whatever. This week, Dave Phipp is currently, without a shred of doubt, in my opinion, the best special teams coach in the NFL. He's the most creative. He's the most disciplined. He knows how to find a roster full of players. They're aggressive. They got the best returner going in the NFL, and Khalif Raymond. He got the highest paid special teams player in the NFL, and Jalen Reeves-Maven, a familiar face around here as well. And they play the right way. And they nullify yards. The longest return that they've given up is 11 yards. So for having the best punter in the NFL, 11 yards is a pretty darn good coverage unit. So all four phases, aggressive, the coach, man, got our hands full. Can't wait to see what we can do.
Is there anybody that loves their job more than Frank Ross?
No, there's not. There is absolutely not.
Like the energy and enthusiasm that he brings to every one of those Thursday meetings with the media and with the press.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Fantastic, amazing. But yeah, that is a part of it, right? Like the being on your P's and Q's, right? Those are the margins that exist is sometimes special teams. And so that'll be interesting. But I think that also reminds me of the aggression that can exist, right? The special teams doesn't often get out there because Detroit Lions head coach Dan Campbell likes going for it on fourth down. He likes being aggressive. I do wonder how much that factors into all of this. I don't know if that's particularly a matchup, and maybe the matchup is the aggression that he shows versus D'Amico Ryans, where sometimes D'Amico has been a little conservative, sometimes seemingly playing for field goals, sometimes not quite handling the ends of halves necessarily in the right ways. I do wonder how that matchup in a more esoteric way plays out.
No, I think he will. Dan Campbell does in every game. You're going to see if they get him into a fourth down situation anywhere in the field, I think Dan Campbell will do that. Yeah. But when they turn to their special teams, yeah, they are the best in the NFL.
Plus, what that aggression does for this defense that, you know, D'Amico Ryans and Matt Burke are throwing out there, right? Like on a third down.
That's a good point.
Third and medium is not necessarily one of those, hey, just pin your ears back, because they might run on third and medium and just, you know, get themselves really, or even third and long, they might run, get themselves closer because they know they're going on fourth down. Like that play calling changes. So I am interested to see just how that changes. In addition to that, the Lions love using jumbo package, right? The size of the Lions versus the relative, like, kind of size of the Texans defense. Like, this Texas defense isn't a giant one, right? Your linebackers, you'll have Aziz in this game.
No, they say it themselves. They're not a real big team.
A little bit more speed and finesse.
Yeah.
I do wonder, like, how does that ultimately factor in? Does this Texans defense get muscled by the jumbo packages, the six offensive linemen, and, you know, the way that they get out there and really use their you know, their heft against the teams?
Yeah, we're all familiar with the Cowboys thing, eligible tackles that are eligible receivers and all that. They do it a lot, and they also, you know, it kind of speaks to Will Anderson and Fadakasi, you know, probably not playing in this game. Those are those two dudes right there alone in against a jumbo type package, you know, an extra offensive lineman. They're huge, especially Will Anderson.
Yeah, with the speed that he possesses. Yeah. I mean, and also
and
the
size.
Power.
I mean, yeah, just size and power. So there's some interesting matchups here that are sort of just, you know, kind of underneath the headliners that are going to be big time.
And one more. I realize that some of these kind of get to a tough place at times. But the slot receiver that is Amon-Ra St. Brown, let me say his name right, versus, you know, whatever slot defender the Texans are putting out there. Jalen Petrie obviously has been that. I do wonder, does that shift at all with the return of Jeff Okuda from IR, right? Do you see some situations where they shuffle the cornerbacks to have maybe more of a true cover guy in those situations as opposed to, because, like, you really have to contend with Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's one of the best receivers in the league, and maybe not a prototypical receiver in the ways that historically we've looked at kind of like the best receivers to be. Do you travel Stingley in some of those instances?
But he's in the slot a lot, too.
Exactly, right? You know? What do you do to counter that? Because that matchup is going to be a very interesting and telling one. That's been a lot, one of the places where other teams have been able to get their rocks off in getting big plays against the secondary.
That's where I feel like the sort of another underlying story here that I think could loom large. You know, Jameson Williams coming back from his suspension. That's just another threat, you know, that could go down the field. They use four or five receivers. And obviously St. Brown's at the center of it all. But they have a lot of guys that can really hurt your secondary. That speaks to, as you mentioned, Okuda. You know, how are they going to use him? It's a fun game. I still think the Lions, you know, it'd be very much a surprise to me. Spoiler alert for when we make our picks, if the Lions lose this game, because they have been so good and they've been rolling up all kinds of points because of the things we're talking about. But it did get a lot more interesting, at least from the Texans' offensive perspective with Nico coming back.
Yeah, absolutely. So those are kind of the matchups we're most interested in. To be fair, 713 notes on the 5-Hour Energy fan line that Campbell can be a little bit of an idiot, make some stupid decisions on kicks when he goes for it. Yeah. One of the things that I will say that I admire about this, because I do readily acknowledge that sometimes you can be led astray by, you know, the principles of, like, analytics when you apply those. Mm-hmm. I do appreciate that he is real consistent in his application, because that's one of the things.
He definitely is. Yeah.
That's one of the things that gets you into trouble when you veer into the space of, I'm going to allow some of these advanced metrics and things to help me dictate these things. In theory, you have to apply them consistently, mm-hmm, for you to get the effect, right? The idea being, more often than not, this thing will happen if X, right? Yeah. And if you are not going to apply that consistently, you're now leaving this to, you're playing, you know, you're it's a crapshoot, right? You're flipping a coin, mm-hmm, in a way with probably worse odds than flipping a coin. And then if you do not hit, you're not getting the benefit. If you do that consistently, yes, you will hit more often than not. But if you narrow it down in its utilization and you only do it one or two times, you can miss both times and feel real stupid, even though the outcome, in theory, over a larger sample should work out in your way. He does it to where he gives himself that large sample. There's going to be instances where he looks foolish.
He's playing the odds the way the odds should be played.
But he's playing the odds in the truest sense of the
word. Like, not just part-time using the analytics and the odds. He's doing it. He's completely committed, and it's been, by and large, to their benefit. And you know what? We didn't even mention one other one that, you know, I'm a big fan of his, and that is LaPorta. Keep in mind, Jake Hansen didn't practice today, right? Who are your cover linebackers? And not only for LaPorta underneath, but they throw the ball a lot to Jahmyr Gibbs and get him in space. So that is another, at least the last one I'm thinking of, huge, huge matchup when you look at the Texans linebackers and Jalen Petrie in coverage. That's a big advantage to the Lions.
I'm real interested to see, like, what this team does if they get Joe Mixon the ball or some of these, mm-hmm, guys over the middle of the field. 713, Lions and Ravens have shown that their biggest weakness is the center of the field behind the linebackers and deep ball threat.
They have.
Those are available, but also, like, you know, we've talked about the idea of getting the ball out quickly and getting some of these guys opportunities to get the ball in space. I do wonder if some of that shows up for Bobby Slowick as well. All right, mm-hmm, some of the matchups we're interested in this big time matchup with the Detroit Lions on Sunday Night Football. 7:20 is when it kicks right here on Sports Radio 610. Pregame starts 3 hours prior with Sean and Seth, and they'll be live at on the south side of the building there on Kirby, getting you started, getting you prepared for the game. All right, coming up next, it's about time for our lunchtime confessions brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. We'll do those next on Sports Radio 610.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.